Welcome to the Millisecond Podcast, where as the line from Hamilton states, can I be real a second for just a millisecond? And that's what I'm here to do, to be open and honest about some, ooh, that was nasty, hard things that are on my heart and mind that don't normally fit into polite conversation or nerdy podcasts and Bible studies. I do not plan to weep like a emo baby, like I did last time. And I also don't think that expressing your emotions is weak or anything like that. But man, I ugly cried, did that last one. And standing on the other side of everything for right now, I don't plan to cry. So that's my thought for this. That's not a note. What am I doing? Trying to play a guitar G on a ukulele is bad life choice. But yeah. So let's get cracking. Today we're gonna talk about stress and anxiety. Not necessarily as a broad general topic for everybody else, but for me, because it's super real right now. So at the end of February, beginning of March, there was a position change for me at my church. It's a good thing, but man, like, March was killer. Long, not negative version of the story short, I am now in charge of my church's social media and graphics and digital design of every kind. So daily social media posts, graphics, signage, stuff like that. And it's something I've wanted to work with for a while. So not a complaint in any way, but there is a sincere pressure that comes with having to have daily content. It also kind of like stifles the desire to create anything else, like writing a book or making podcasts or anything like that, because you pour a lot of your creative effort into that. Now, if my biggest complaint is that my job is effective and fulfilling to the point that I'm not seeking extra satisfaction, I don't think that's a bad complaint. So not a complaint at all there. But like March and going into April has been a whole new weight of mental stress with that. And not just that, our church decided, and again, these aren't negative statements, our church decided from a leadership standpoint that we hadn't done enough for children during pandemic, and that we wanted to do a ministry to reach out to families and help families disciple their children. Super great idea. Straight up killer idea. I didn't want to do it. I naysayed as hard as I could naysay, because I knew it would be a lot of work, and I didn't think we had enough volunteers that would care, and I just straight up naysayed as hard as I could naysay. But you know what? We put it out there. Our volunteer team freaking killed it. And it was a lot of work. But man, we got to minister some families and do some really cool stuff. But what that meant was, for us, at least at my location, for my church, is that we were abandoning our 11:15 service for families, or like for just normal church. And we were going full-blown Nickelodeon, like kids VBS vibe, with giant decorations and me singing silly songs and almost falling through tables because I'm being too energetic and literally throwing a bucket of confetti across the room and almost hitting a grown-up in the face. That was it, because we would go from legit worship, praise, and preaching and all this stuff at our 9:15 service to me running around throwing confetti and doing silliness while parents made crafts and science experiments and ate fun snacks and sang songs. And y'all, it was amazing as a ministry experience, but the reality of it is it was a lot to transition from one to the other and also coordinate with other locations and manage volunteers and stuff. It was a lot, and starting social media and that at the same time was a lot. But then on the other end of it, one of our other locations was starting student ministry. And so during this time, I also needed interest meetings for how to continue our children's ministry and type up pages worth of notes for that. And also, how to meet with all of our youth leaders to help equip them for what they were about to do next. So y'all, there were just meetings on top of meetings and, all this stuff. And that's just on the professional front with work. And let me just say, work is dope. I honestly love what I'm doing. It's a great ministry. I'm getting to spread my wings and be a beautiful butterfly and be as creative as I want to be. And be some of the stuff I'm super proud of. But man, there's this stress on it. And that's just that front. But the reality is there's so much other stress that just kind of is piling on there. The stuff with cancer. And like I said, I'm not crying. As the last millisecond podcast was right before my wife's surgery. And she did, in fact, have a double mastectomy. And they did find other cancer in the breast that they were not expecting to find cancer in. So it was good that they went ahead and did the double. But on top of that, in the weeks that followed, they found that the surgery didn't do enough and that chemo was needed. And then the first time they tried to do chemo, it didn't go well, and she had an anaphylactic shock to the chemo, and they had to EpiPen her and like CPR and all the things. And so I just carry this weight of stress and anxiety about her situation, and it's hard. It's legit hard, because people always want to ask and I legit don't have an answer. And like, it's hard. And I'm also running into, these, cross ups, because cons are finally starting to come back. But because cons are coming back after I've already planned stuff, it's hard. I started DJing pretty much almost part-time. I wouldn't say it's like a full part-time thing, but I DJ a lot. And people booked me pretty far out. So folks that are trying to throw out cons right now, almost every con that is available to me, I'm scheduled to DJ at some point. And I feel this pressure of like, what's more important? And am I missing out on that ministry? And so like, one of my best friends has described me as having FOMO, you know, like fear of missing out. I don't think I have fear of missing out. I have like a fear of letting people down. And for some of these shows, I feel like if I'm not present, I'm letting people down. So I've got that pressure. And plus my kids are going through all of this stuff. And you know, it's just a lot that just kind of weighs on me. And I've also somehow, like, just overbooked myself too much. Like, the night that I'm recording this, not only did I have stuff booked for tonight, I was overbooked in three different areas. Simply because I said yes to so many things. And then, honestly, comes the weight and pressure of people just asking how I'm doing. And, y'all, it took me 10 minutes just now to remotely tell you what's even going on in my life, not how it's all completely affecting me. So when people text me and be like, dude, how are you? I'm like, I can't answer all that, honestly. You know, so I'd just be like, thick and savory, or, you know, something stupid, because I can't answer all these things. But just to ask you this, how does your stress and anxiety manifest in your life? Like, do you have nervous tics? Do you have things? Because lately, my stress and anxiety has manifested in, like, three big physical things. One, my OG throwback, one I've always had. One of my big stress manifestations is an eye twitch. Normally, my left eye twitches when I'm stressed. And, dude, my left eye has been twitching like it's listening to EDM music and throwing its own personal rave. And it's a lot. Like, I can literally be like, oh, there it goes. I must be messing up. And that's one. Another one is a general weight on my chest, and not like my heart. I'm not having like a heart attack or anything like that, but I'll have a weight on my chest. And usually, and like, it's tension and anxiety. I'm fully confident in that, because it's those situations where the weight of something just kind of eats at me. And like today, I dropped my wife off for chemo. And when I did, literally that weight was there. And that weight didn't go away until I was too distracted to pay attention to it. So I've got the eye twitch. I've got the pressure on my chest. And then the one that really is killing me is my beard. I have a habit of like touching my beard when I'm stressed out. Like I'm petting a cat or something. And then it's really bad when I have like an ingrown hair or a bump or a pimple or something in there. Because then like my nervous tick is to literally just find it and touch it and poke at it like a toddler. Like right now I have an ingrown hair in my beard, and it's annoying because like I find my hands gravitating towards it, and I know it's straight stress. My family took a road trip and went on vacation for a couple days, and I literally had to, whenever I got in the car, be like, listen, don't let me touch my beard. Don't let me pick at this ingrown hair so it won't get infected. Don't let me do it. And so, like, I gave everybody in the car permission to punch me or call me out if I was doing it. And, yeah, that's where I'm at. And, it's going to end up looking like a molted bird. Molting? That's the right word, yeah. I'm molting! So yeah, that's my stress. It's getting me, man. Because honestly, I just... the weight of everything. And most of the things are good things, like work and ministry and creativity and the fact that I have opportunities, the fact that my DJ career is actually doing its thing and being fun. And y'all, like, I'm doing a wedding this weekend. And normally when I do a wedding, I only, I on my contract for DJing, I'm like, give me specific songs you want in your ceremony, if it's a wedding, and give me 20 songs that you absolutely want. So at most, I get like 25 to 30 songs. Awesome. The rest I fill in based on the flavor that I get from the 30 songs. Dude, the wedding that I'm doing this weekend, they literally wrote out 4 pages of songs. 4 pages. If you want to add in white space, it might be 3.5. But of songs that I needed to get by their specifics, and they had it timed out. And I'm just like, just thinking about the logistics of that literally gave me all three of my triggers at the same time. I was had a twitchy eye, a hard heart, and picking at my beard. I mean, it's a lot. And as I'm sitting here, like, I've got all the stuff for this wedding together now, for the most part. I just got to organize a little bit of playlists and move some things, but the weight of things. And even going on vacation this week. Like, we wanted to take a quick vacation before my wife took her second attempt at chemo. Because when she took her first attempt at chemo, it didn't work, and she had anaphylactic shock, and they had to do an EpiPen and CPR and stuff. And so after that debacle, we were going to go to the Outer Banks for a few days. And you know what? That was a wonderful trip. I enjoyed myself. I didn't work. I didn't open my laptop. Not once. But I didn't even make it back home before my phone was blowing up with things to do. And I know a lot of adding stuff to do constantly is trying to feel like I'm doing something with my life, because there's so many things that in my life right now, like, that I can't do anything about. I'm a fixer. I'm a people pleaser. I'm a giver. I'm a doer. And there's nothing I can do to fix the fact that my wife's going through chemo and surgery and all these painful changes in her body and stuff. And yes, I'm fully aware prayer is a thing, and I do pray. Not enough, probably. But it's the reality of, like, I'm doing all these other things because being still is hard. And if I'm super honest, I'm really, really lonely. Like, really, really lonely. The only people I see or interact with are people that I'm taking care of. And, you know, I've got friends and they care about me. But I still struggle with how to actually even express what I'm going through, let alone give them the weight of it. And there's a reason, like, a millisecond podcast. I record these, like, stupid late at night. Like, as I record this right now, it's 1:59 a.m. And one of the reasons I record them late at night is because I'm tired enough that, like, my guard kind of drops. you know, being a younger man in ministry and working with teenagers and college students, you know, used to say nothing good happens after 11 o'clock because our faculties and our reason is down. And this reality, I do this one, record this podcast late at night because my faculties are down and my guard's down a little bit. But I am lonely and I am stressed out and anxious and overwhelmed. And I've been like picking at my beard 80% of the time I've been recording this. Yeah. My anxiety is hard. And there's this pressure from everybody else just that, you know, yeah, things sucks, but you're okay, right? Like a friend visited us and brought us dinner. And, you know, I was talking about some of the side jobs I was doing and things I was doing for just a little extra income for my family and all this. And they're like, why do you need extra money? And I'm like, dude, I make very little as a pastor. Like, I intentionally work at a church that I believe in, which doesn't necessarily come with a lot of money. It doesn't. I took a 50% pay cut to work at the church I'm working at. And he's like, why do you need extra money? I said, my wife has cancer and there's a lot of bills. He's like, insurance doesn't cover everything. And I'm like, dude, you do remember the fact that there was a very valid TV show that took place because a teacher couldn't afford his cancer payments. All right. That's a thing. There's just the weight of everything. And it is overwhelming and it is frustrating. But people just expect you to be okay. And I don't know when that's going to be. Typing in a song lyric real quick. There's this song by Judah and the Lion. And I feel like I've done this already. Like, I may have said this already. If I did, forgive me, and also good for you for listening and actually knowing I've said something more than once. But there's a song by Jude and the Lion that, you know, talks about people asking if he's okay and all these things. And the bridge of the song is, well, finally some honesty. I'm not that great transparently. It's been a few years since I felt okay, but I'm just like a pro not showing on my face. Yeah. And, dude, that line right there, it's been a few years since I felt okay. I felt that in my bones. Going on, the next line is like, I'm an ocean now, peaceful on the out, but the deeper I go down, I'm discovering all the things my brain has let sink below, everything coming up, up like a cyclone. So my first step to recovery, a couple deep breaths, and then hear me speak, I'm not okay, I'm not okay, come get in my pain, come get my pain, I'm not okay, I'm not okay. And that's the reality of it, is like, no, dude, I am not okay. And my coping mechanisms aren't great. My stress level is through the roof. I am lonely to the point that it is detrimental to my emotional and mental health. I don't know how to ask for help from people normally. And yeah. But I'm still trying to be there and do the things I'm supposed to do. So that's what I'm rolling with. That's what I'm working with. But now that's the thing about the gospel. That's the thing about what God does in us in the first place, is the fact that he did what he did because we're not okay. And I think that's one of the biggest, not failures of the church, but one of the biggest misunderstandings of the church is that we expect people just to be okay just because they've met Jesus. The Bible is full of people that met Jesus and then still sucked. Mary and Martha sucked even after they met Jesus. Peter sucked after he met Jesus. Judas sucked after he met Jesus. Meeting Jesus does not mean that we're automatically better, but we have that proximity to strive for. And I'm fully confident of the presence and power of God in my life, and I'm fully comfortable in that. But dude, I'm stressed out and I'm tired. And honestly, really tired of people being surprised if I'm not okay, or even asking if I am okay, because I'm not. It's legitimately like, y'all know me. I'm a big boy. I'm thicker than a Snicker. I'm chonky. Like, people asking me if I'm okay is like people walking up to me like, "You're not skinny yet?" I'm like, no, there's no reason I would be skinny. Why are you asking that? That's about what it feels like, for real. But yeah, I am working on managing my stress in a better way. I'm working on being honest about what I'm dealing with and going through. I'm working on not scratching this ingrown hair in my beard that I really, really want to. That's me combing my beard back down so I quit playing in it, as you've probably heard a million times in this podcast. Okay, no more beard touchy. See, I literally have to tell myself, stop touching your beard. And as crazy as that sounds, sometimes, y'all, maybe we do just need to remind ourselves to stop being focused on the wrong things. Because while things suck and I am stressed out about a lot of things, I'm focused on the thing that I don't need to be focused on. Because the things that I do focus on are the things that annoy me, the things that perturb me, the things, like, you know, I was talking about my ingrown hair and my beard. It's that one thing that you can feel is wrong, even though you're ignoring the million parts of you that are okay. I've got it literally right now, as I sit, and I feel my body as a whole. I've got a hair that's irritated and an ingrown hair in my beard. I've got a little divot on a tooth that I went to the dentist for, and they kind of sanded down rather than filling. And if I'm honest, out of all of my body, those are the only parts that are uncomfortable. So to have all the parts of my body be in a place where there are only three things that are bothering me, I should be focused on the like 99.9% of me that's completely functional, yet I'm letting the 3% of this drive me absolutely crazy. Poking at the place on my tongue with my, or on my tooth with my tongue, and pulling at the ingrown hair in my beard. And the reality is, a lot of our anxieties tend to be like that, that we focus on the few things that are wrong over all that's right. And I could tell you all the things that are right in my life. And, you know, it's probably not a bad idea. You know, the fact I've got amazing children, that I've had the platforms that I've been given, that I have a church and a function in my church that I am happy to have, and that I'm getting to be creative and to do all these things, and I'm still getting opportunities, and that I have opportunities to actually say yes to, even if I should say no. I've got friends who have genuinely shown me great love and support in this season, but somehow my mind always trickles down to the ones that don't. And that's the thing, it's the what are we focusing on? And I'm not going to tell you that just focusing on the right things cures all of your anxiety or your stress, but dude, it freaking helps. And sometimes we need those reminders. There's a scripture in Philippians 4:6-7. It says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and mind in Christ Jesus." That's a reality. That's a truth. But that one thing says, don't be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. That's one of the hard parts I struggle with when it comes to dealing with stress and anxiety, is I don't have a request. I'm not asking God for anything. I'm not sitting here like worrying about a request. It's just the weight of everything. The weight and the pressure of everything. And you're so focused on the feeling of that weight pressing against you that you don't know what to ask for. You don't have the words to actually say, which is one of the reasons why I'm so grateful for friends that actually pray for me, because they can lift me up when I don't know what else to say. But it's, and there's a difference between just being worried and being stressed and anxious, and there's a weight to it. Luke 10, there's this passage where Mary and Martha, if you know the story, in Luke 10, I'm gonna find the whole passage, so hold on one second. We see this where Mary and Martha are in their different perspectives. And as Jesus is, this is Luke 10:38. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening what he said. Verse 40 says, "But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and said, 'Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me.'" I'll come back to that, but she just told Jesus what to do. Verse 41 says, "Martha, Martha, the Lord answered, 'You are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken from her.'" The two things that really stand out to me, Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. I'm so distracted by the stuff that's in front of me that I miss what is actually important, and I'm fully aware of that. Jesus said, "You are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better and will not be taken from her." I am worried about my schedule and how this cancer treatment is going to turn out. I'm worried about the fact that I feel lonely when I know I'm not alone. And it's a hard thing to see that a lot of the weight that is on us can be changed by simply changing our focus. That if we are willing to honestly evaluate where we're at and look at what we're going through, that a little change of focus can dramatically reduce the stress and anxiety upon us. Again, this is not a cure-all. This is not saying don't get professional help. This is not saying don't take medication or anything like that. But I'm just telling you that if you can change your focus a little bit, it'll at least help you stop poking at what is wrong. Me not thinking about this ingrown hair in my beard doesn't take it away. But it does help me stop poking at it. And some of the stresses and anxiety in our life legitimately would begin to heal if we stop putting our focus on them. Just one verse I'm going to leave you with before I dip out of here. And Psalm 94, verse 19 says, "When anxiety was great within me, your consolation brought me joy." In verse 18 before, it says, the verses before it are dope too. Verse 17 says this, "Unless the Lord had given me help, I would have soon dwelt in the silence of death." Y'all, that is so me, and I'm willing to bet it's so a lot of you, that there's stuff we're dealing with that God literally has to force out of us. "And unless the Lord had given me help, I would soon have dwelt in the silence of death." Andy Mineo has a line in a song called "I Don't Need You" that says, "I would probably die starving before I ask for a meal." Talking about this very thing, that we would end up dying in the stuff because we don't say anything. But God gave help. Verse 18 says, "When I said my foot is slipping, your unfailing love, Lord, supported me." And sometimes we don't have to have all the right answers. We don't have to have all the pretty prayers. Sometimes it legit is simply saying, "God, I'm slipping." And I'm saying this to God right now, not just to you guys listening. I am saying this to God. I am slipping. I'm tired and I'm lonely and I'm frustrated, God, and I'm discouraged and I don't feel like I can do all this on my own, and I know I can't. So that's legitimately my prayer. God, I am slipping. And just like you told the psalmist here, your unfailing love will support. And God, I'm telling you, I'm slipping and asking for your unfailing love to support, because it feels that way. Verse 19, though, says, "When anxiety was great within me, your consolation brought me joy." And God, I am straight up telling you, I am slipping, and I am straight up begging you to console me, because my anxiety is great within me. As I've said before, whenever I do this podcast, I'm not trying to tie it up in a neat little bow. I'm not trying to make it pretty or perfect or have a resolution that has a catchy sermon point and the worship team come up and start playing. I'm telling you where I'm broken and saying things out loud that don't fit in polite conversation. Just being real for a second. I hope that wherever you are dealing with stress and anxiety, that maybe this can be a prompt for you to be real with it too. Thanks.